Stupendous is the buzzword that they came up with for this year's WrestleMania. Stupendous, which is defined as extremely impressive. There is nothing about this year's WrestleMania that I would describe as extremely impressive. A lot of the matches this year feel very thrown together at the last minute. And the ones that don't, honestly, you know, my interest level is very hit or miss. There's always a certain level of excitement that's there because it is WrestleMania. It is built up as the biggest event of the year in front of a large crowd. You know, you have to appreciate the fact that we had a WrestleMania 2 years ago that took place in front of no fans. And that sucked. So it's nice to have WrestleMania back in front of tens of thousands of people again. Even last year, they were very limited in how many people they could have at WrestleMania. This is really the first true WrestleMania since before the pandemic. Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns. It's a match that we've seen many times before, but the reality is, it does feel like the biggest possible main event that they could put together in WWE right now. It does feel like a big fight. It does feel special. Even though we've seen it before, and I know some people are sick and tired of it, they are the two biggest stars in all of wrestling right now. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. There's no bigger match that WWE could put together with anybody on the current active roster than the main event that we're getting on night two. Becky Lynch against Bianca Belair. They have a story that dates all the way back to SummerSlam last year. There's a story. That's been building for a while. Even Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. I still can't believe that we're even getting this match at WrestleMania. But Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville, they have a story that has been building even before the Royal Rumble. We all thought it was going to be over in the Rumble. Oh, no. So that story has been playing out for quite some time. Drew McIntyre against Happy Corbin. I bet if I took a poll of most of the people that are going to end up watching this or who are joining us live right now, what is the one match, what are the top three matches at WrestleMania that you had to, if you had gun to your head, you had to say that you were looking forward to the most? I can guarantee not a single one of you would have Drew McIntyre against Happy Corbin in your top three. But that's another one. It's been building for several months now. Even before day one. Day one is where they did the injury angle with Drew. We didn't know what Drew's status was even going to be for WrestleMania because of the neck. They have kept this story going through WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre has been challenging for the WWE Championship each of the last 2 years of WrestleMania. First, it was against Brock Lesnar. Last year, it was against Bobby Lashley. This year, he goes one-on-one with Happy Corbin. Not everybody could stay in the main event picture consistently year after year unless your name is Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns. That's just how it works. And the two things that I am most looking forward to involve two men who have not made a single television appearance in the build-up to this show. They have not made one appearance. In fact, in the case of one of them, they've dropped little sudden, you know, subtle hints about it, but they've not even said the man's name. They've not advertised him. They've not said a word that this person is going to be on the show this weekend. Stone Cold Steve Austin on the KO show. And of course, I'm talking about Cody Rhodes, the likelihood that we are going to see him at WrestleMania this week. And I can tell you as I sit here that those are the two things I am looking forward to most about this WrestleMania. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. But at least I found something to get excited about. Of course, there's been a lot of speculation about Shane McMahon. His name has been bandied about ever since PW Insider put the report up the other day that WWE was flying Shane in, which under normal circumstances would not be all that big of a deal. His last name is McMahon, so not all that shocking to hear that a member of the McMahon family would be flying in for WrestleMania. It is weird, though, given the news that he was sent home after the Royal Rumble. He was supposed to have a WrestleMania program. He was sent home. And he's going to be in town for WrestleMania weekend. Anyway, that, of course, set off a whole chain of social media activity and everybody speculating, oh my God, they wouldn't. They couldn't. They won't. They won't. The build for this WrestleMania has not been great, but I am reminded of Stone Cold and The Rock. All right, everybody looks back so fondly on Stone Cold and The Rock, and there's a lot to look back fondly about. It's one of the greatest feuds in the history of WWE. And they had some classic WrestleMania matches together. And in fact, the match that some people think is one of the best in WrestleMania history was their second match, a WrestleMania X7 in the main event at the Sky Dome, or at the Astrodome, rather, in Houston. Sky Dome was the following year. What people tend to forget, though, is the fact that early in the build to this historic match between Austin and The Rock, the two of them were feuding on TV over Austin's wife. That was the start of the build between Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock going into WrestleMania 17. They were feuding over who would have Deborah by their side, who would have Deborah in their corner. Thankfully, they dropped that very quickly. But I am reminded of that sometimes the build can be deceiving. And it doesn't necessarily correlate to what the final product is that we get in the end. And it is still WrestleMania. I do look forward to finding out what the stage looks like. In fact, I thought they were having some kind of a stage reveal tonight. Either tonight or tomorrow. I think they're doing a big stage and set reveal at AT&T Stadium. And I always look for, now knowing them, it's just going to be one giant screen because that's generally what they do these days. We don't, unfortunately, see a lot of creativity anymore when it comes to the stages and the set. And that's not true every year. I mean, they had the pirate ship theme, what was supposed to be 2 years ago. They had that last year. WrestleMania 33 in Orlando is the greatest stage they've ever put together for any of these WrestleManias. But then other years, and I worry that this will be the case this year, they just have the giant wall. But still, I look forward to seeing what everything looks like and all that kind of stuff. And of course, I am reminded that it was at WrestleMania X7 that Bobby the Brain Heenan, who I met 10 years ago to this very day at Wrestle Reunion in Miami, I'm so glad I had the chance to meet him before he passed away. But it was Bobby the Brain Heenan on WrestleMania 17 in the gimmick Battle Royal when he was on commentary that made fun of the Iron Sheik. As the Iron Sheik was making his way down to the ring, and he joked, he goes, by the time the Iron Sheik gets to the ring, it'll be WrestleMania 38. Guess what? It's WrestleMania 38. I can't believe it's been that long, but it has. WrestleMania 38 is upon us. I think Sheik is in a wheelchair, unfortunately. I think he's wheelchair-bound these days. I haven't really heard what the status of the Iron Sheik is. I don't get the sense he's in very good health. All the people who think that it's him who tweets all the time when the Iron Sheik puts tweets out, I mean, come on. Believe me, he ain't the one sitting there tweeting or dictating tweets to go out. So hopefully Sheik is doing okay. But now, as I say this, I'm picturing this runaway wheelchair rolling down that long ramp at Texas Stadium with the Iron Sheik in it. This is your WrestleMania 38 preview and prediction stream. I am the Sala Monster. Thank you for joining me here tonight in the middle of what is a very busy week and what will be a very and even busier weekend here on the channel. There's so many events going on. Unfortunately, I can't cover them all, so I'm covering the key ones. Last night, we had AEW Dynamite. We had a great turnout for the stream last night. And tonight, we're doing WrestleMania predictions tomorrow night. We are talking SmackDown and AEW Rampage. In fact, I may as well just put it up on the screen right now. This is the schedule I had put together earlier in the week. We're doing SmackDown and Rampage tomorrow night. I'll try to sneak in a quick view of the Hall of Fame and maybe the Ring of Honor Supercard show Saturday morning. But then Saturday afternoon, NXT Stand and Deliver. And I'll be live on YouTube immediately after the show is over. And then later that night, WrestleMania 38, night one. And again, back on YouTube with all of you. Sunday, it's episode 750 of the podcast. And Sunday night, we'll wrap everything up with night two coverage of WrestleMania 38. And who knows? If I'm feeling frisky, maybe we'll even go live on Monday night after the WrestleMania Night After Raw edition. If you guys want that, we'll see. Super chats are open. You might see them popping up on your screen. If you have predictions of your own for WrestleMania and any thoughts you want to send my way, questions, you just want to support the channel, send them on in. I will be reading them on the air. Raw on Monday was dubbed WrestleMania Raw. How original. So that was Raw Monday night. Hopefully WrestleMania SmackDown tomorrow night will be better than WrestleMania Raw that we got on Monday. I think it would be hard for it to be any worse. We have Ricochet. May as well talk about it here since technically it's part of WrestleMania. And since the Intercontinental Championship is not technically being defended at WrestleMania, at least it's on WrestleMania SmackDown. Ricochet is going to be defending his title in a triple threat match against both members of Los Lotharios, Angel and Humberto. Ricochet has now lost. I could just stop the sentence right there. I don't think it would be shocking for me to just say Ricochet has lost. Ricochet's lost a lot of matches in his WWE career. But Ricochet has now lost three straight matches on back-to-back shows between his two losses to Angel and Humberto on Friday, and then a completely unnecessary loss to Austin Theory on Raw Monday night. Ricochet isn't even part of the Raw roster. And they put him on the show anyway so he could lose in a quick match to Austin Theory. Hell of a way to book your Intercontinental Champion. He's due for a win. Ricochet, I believe, is going to retain when things go sideways between the two tag partners in their match. Here's a depressing little trivia note for you. And I had to check this myself because I almost didn't believe it, but I kind of did. I mean, it's not that hard to believe. The last time that the Intercontinental title was defended on pay-per-view, if you had to take a guess, I'll give you a quick 5 seconds to think it over. When do you think the last time was that the IC title was defended on a pay-per-view? Last year's WrestleMania. I believe it was Big E. I think it was Big E and Apollo Crews. You would have to go back an entire year to find a pay-per-view where that championship was defended. If that doesn't tell you right there how little thought is put into even attempting to make that championship feel like something that people might actually want to go after, then I don't know what other evidence I can present to you. But I do believe Ricochet will retain his title tomorrow night. We talk about championships. Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Finn Balor was the United States, or is the United States champion. He won the title from Damian Priest. Damian Priest was the U.S. champion. Finn Balor now is the champion. Both men on Monday night, nowhere to be found. They brought the Intercontinental Champion over. They had all these people. They had the Usos were over from SmackDown. They came over to Raw to wrestle in the main event. Why? Why not? But no U.S. champion. Now, Finn Balor was on main event duty. He was on main event duty this week, wrestling Apollo Crews. And both men will be part of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, once again relegated to WrestleMania SmackDown. Poor Andre, even Andre, cannot make the WrestleMania card. Andre, once again, what is it, second year in a row, third year? Relegated to the night before WrestleMania. Also listed for the Battle Royal are Damian Priest, Bobby Roode, Madcap Moss, Commander Aziz, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Jinder Mahal. This is a hell of a lineup here. Shanky, Mansoor, Drew Gulak, Akira Tozawa, R-Truth, Reggie, and the Viking Jobbers, who lost to Omos in less than a minute on Raw Monday night when Omos gave Eric of the Viking Jobbers a clothesline. He gave him a clothesline. And Eric rolled out to the floor. Ivar went to go check on him. He couldn't make it back into the ring in time, and so therefore Eric was counted out. A more lazy handicap match you will not find. War Machine will do well on the indies, though. I will say that. War Machine will do well on the indies once they make their way back there after the inevitable budget cuts in the next, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks. It might not take that long. Remember, I hate to be morbid, but after WrestleMania, I think for the past few years, right around the middle of the month, April 15th or so, April 15th just so happens to be a Friday this year. Talk about Black Friday. Oh, it's coming. The annual spring cleaning, it's coming. Wouldn't shock me to see those two guys part of the next round of cuts. The winner of the Battle Royal and the man that I'm picking should be, and I think will be, Damian Priest. I think Damian Priest wins the Battle Royal, and I believe he should eliminate Finn Balor to do it. And as I talked about on the podcast the other day, the way that I would do it, I wouldn't just have Damian Priest win the Battle Royal. I would have Damian Priest win the Battle Royal and actually get something out of this Battle Royal by having him use that as an excuse to get a rematch with Balor for the U.S. title on night two of WrestleMania on Sunday. So at least one of these mid-card championships can, in the end, wind up on the actual WrestleMania card. And then it kind of feels like the Andre Battle Royal has something on the line, something tangible, something actually, you know, worthwhile and fruitful coming out of it. Damian Priest gets himself a U.S. title match out of it. That's how I would do it. But that leads us to WrestleMania Night 1. Because WrestleMania now every year is a two-night event. Pick your poison. You either want a two-night WrestleMania or you want a one-night, seven-and-a-half-hour WrestleMania. I'll take the two nights. Thank you very much. And I say that as somebody who has been to many of those seven-hour WrestleManias. I will happily take the two nights of WrestleMania over one excruciatingly long night of WrestleMania. So we have night one of WrestleMania on Saturday. I will say I am not sure why they are doing both women's singles title matches on night one. I don't know why they didn't bother to separate them out. They are doing both of them on Saturday. I know they left the women's tag team title match, which at this point is the only women's match. They left that for Sunday. So I don't know why they did that, but that's how they decided to do it this year, for whatever reason. Seth Rollins has been without a WrestleMania opponent now for weeks. And if reports are to be believed, because there were plenty of reports about what the original plans were for Rollins heading into WrestleMania season. But if the original reports are to be believed, the plan was for Seth Rollins to come out of day one in the main event as the WWE champion. And I said, you know, I did not see Big E going into WrestleMania as the champion. There was no way Big E was going to survive WrestleMania season as the champion. Now, I could have seen him going to WrestleMania to regain the title. But it was pretty clear to me, I said this months ago, we're going to have a new WWE champion going into the show. So we have a heel champion going into the show. Whoever the top babyface is on Monday Night Raw, they go and they challenge for the title. So that supposedly was the original plan, that Rollins was going to win the belt. Now, whether he still would have been champion or not come WrestleMania, who the hell knows? But it could very well have been Rollins defending the title against Big E, and Big E would have stayed on Monday Night Raw. Instead, Roman Reigns got COVID, Brock got the belt, Big E went to SmackDown, and he got his neck broken. Plan B for Seth Rollins was said to be a match against Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. That is, until Shane McMahon got sent home. Daddy sent him to his room after the Royal Rumble. So all plans for Shane to be in the Elimination Chamber, out the window, Austin Theory took his place. Plans for Shane to go to Mania, wrestle Seth Rollins, out the window. Rollins, once again, left without an opponent for WrestleMania. One of the biggest stars in the entire roster, either roster, in the entire company. No apparent match heading into WrestleMania. Rollins tried to beat his best friend, Kevin Owens, take his spot interviewing Stone Cold Steve Austin. They had a match on TV, and Rollins lost. Then he wrestled AJ Styles. He tried to steal his spot against Edge at WrestleMania. And again, Rollins lost. And on Monday, he was summoned to Vince McMahon's office. He got called into the principal's office at Titan Tower, where Vince told him that he would, after all, be on the WrestleMania card. In fact, all you had to do was come to me. That's what Vince told him. I wish you would have just come to me. That way you wouldn't have had to jump through all these hoops. Yes, but then how would they have filled up all of that television time? So Vince said, you're going to be on the WrestleMania card. We can't have WrestleMania without Seth Rollins. And he said that it would be against a hand-picked opponent of Vince's choosing, whose identity will not be revealed until Seth is standing in the ring on Saturday night. Rollins has been having some fun with this. He's been tweeting out random images on his Twitter account for the last, I think, 2 days now. He's put pictures up with no captions, no context, or anything like that. This is a list of all the people, and maybe he's posted more since then, but I was keeping a running list of all the people that Rollins has been putting their pictures up on his page. He's tweeted out photos of Veer Mahan, Shane McMahon, Mustafa Ali, who's chained to the wall at Titan Tower, so he's not going anywhere. John Cena, Rob Van Dam, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, who's in town for the Hall of Fame tomorrow night. And even Marco Stunt. That was the last image I saw that Seth Rollins put on his Twitter. He was going to be, he was teasing a possible match with Marco Stunt at WrestleMania. Of course, Marco Stunt is still under contract to AEW for another, I think, 2 months. So Marco Stunt, even if they wanted Marco Stunt, he couldn't be there anymore. It will not be Marco Stunt. It's hardly a mystery who his opponent is going to be. Seth Rollins' opponent at WrestleMania is going to be Cody Rhodes. That is who his opponent is going to be. It is not going to be Shane McMahon. It is not going to be Shane. All the people who were worried, oh my God, it's going to be Shane. It's not going to be Shane McMahon. Gable Steveson is an interesting one because Gable Steveson is going to be at WrestleMania and he is going to be on Monday Night Raw soon full time. In fact, if you remember, he got drafted to the Raw brand back in October. He was the last name in the draft, even though he was still in school. But they drafted him and said when he's ready in the next few months, possibly as early as May, and May's not that far away, he will be full-time on the Monday Night Raw roster, the same roster that Rollins just so happens to be on. So were it not for all the speculation about Cody now for weeks and weeks and weeks, Gable Steveson would be the most likely, for me, the most likely candidate for the spot. I could believe that they want to debut him in an impactful way. Maybe he's secretly been training now for a little bit. And then at WrestleMania, out he comes for a match with Seth Rollins, probably even goes over, and then transitions immediately into a program with Rollins on Raw. See, that would be believable. I could see that happening. But all the speculation now for weeks, and WWE has not shied away from it. They've leaned into it. You hear it on the commentary every week when they're talking about Rollins, and they're talking about dashing this, dashing that, a nightmare. His dreams have turned into a nightmare. And all of these little turns of phrases that they've been using, they're not shying away from it. They're playing a very dangerous game by doing that and then not delivering on what people are expecting. Seth Rollins' opponent at WrestleMania is going to be Cody Rhodes. Same Cody Rhodes who, you know, look, he tried to shoot his shot. Right? He tried to shoot that shot with Tony Khan and it backfired. It didn't work out. Whatever he was asking for, certain contingencies or just more money, whatever it was, it didn't work. It backfired. The negotiations stalled. And so instead, he winds up back in WWE. And honestly, he probably feels like, I mean, I would if I were him, probably feels like he still has something left to prove after the way things ended last time we saw him on WWE television. He was Stardust. Stardust was hanging out with what was the Cosmic Wasteland, right, with the Ascension? I mean, this is what he was doing. It would be the equivalent of what we see on television every week now with R-Truth and Tozawa and Reggie chasing each other around. That's basically what Cody Rhodes was doing the last time we saw him in WWE. You don't think he, in his mind, doesn't feel like he's got something left to prove after he went away, found success, as a main event level star somewhere else and is hoping that by coming back, he's proven to the boss, he's proven to Vince McMahon, you see what I can do? Just give me the ball. Let me run with it. I can be a real star. I can make money for you here in this company. Of course, there's some part of him that feels that way. He has to. He has unfinished business. Still has a lot of friends in this company. I'm sure there's a good part of him that's wanted to come back despite all of the comments and all of the proclamations that he's made in the podcast, the AEW podcast. I'm a lifer in this company. He may have in his mind, honestly, at the time, believed that to be true. I don't think this was part of some long-term plan that he had. I'm going to stick around here for a couple of years and then get the fuck out of here. But, you know, Kenny Omega mentioned this when he was interviewed on Observer Radio all those weeks ago. He said, you know, with Cody, his vision for certain things was just different than the other EVPs. It was different than Kenny Omega. It was different than the Young Bucks. It was Cody who would constantly bring up WWE. Always. Or the thing with the throne, when he took the thing to the throne and pulled out the golden shovel that other time. I mean, it was always Cody was the one who was always either talking about them or, you know, dropping little digs or whatever. It's as if he never really got over the fact that things did not end the way that he wanted them to end the last time he was here. And so now the prodigal son returns and he has the chance in his mind to write a very big wrong, the way things, you know, left off the last time that we saw him. But for him, it's a huge moment. He's about to make his return at WrestleMania, the biggest event of the year, in front of 65,000 people at AT&T Stadium. This is going to be one of the biggest moments and probably the biggest reactions that Cody Rhodes has ever gotten in his entire life. Is about to go down in less than 48 hours. So for him, that's a big deal. Now, of course, the question is, what happens after that? That's always the question, right? What is the follow-up? But it's true. I mean, Cody is going to go out there on Saturday, and he's going to get a bigger moment and a bigger reaction at a WrestleMania than even his own father had. And think of the career that Dusty Rhodes had. Dusty Rhodes didn't really have a lot of WrestleMania moments. He had one, and it wasn't even a big deal. He was in a mixed tag at WrestleMania 6. Then he danced with Sapphire. That's his WrestleMania moment. He danced in the polka dots with Sapphire. Cody's about to go out there and have a bigger moment than his own father ever did at WrestleMania. But if WWE has any common sense at all, Cody is going to walk out there to the same music, which, again, I'm under the impression that he owns the music or owns the rights. I could be wrong about that. If he does, though, it would be nuts for WWE to change it. He should walk out there to the same music, doing the same kind of entrance that he had in AEW. He'll go out there and he'll get the big reaction and he'll feel like a major superstar. The only way people are ever going to look at you as a major star is if you are treated like one. That's true. So maybe there are people who are watching this right now who just don't get the hype around Cody. He's good, but he's not that good. He's an upper mid-card guy at best. I don't see him as a main event guy. That's fine if that's the way you feel. But if I'm WWE, my goal, if I'm throwing money at this guy and I'm bringing him in, is to make him feel like a big deal. And for them, it is a big deal. You know, they were able to, you know, lure away one of the founding fathers, one of the EVPs of their competition. It's a nice little feather in Vince McMahon's cap. But this should be a situation where they make the most of the opportunity that's been handed to them. You're only going to feel as special as the company makes you feel as far as how they present you and how they book you on television. That is what WWE should be thinking when it comes to Cody Rhodes. And the fact is, they don't have very many major stars left to trot out there. Undertaker is retired. Although I saw Undertaker was doing an interview and he was asked about possibly coming back for one more. But would these people leave him alone already and let the man rest in peace? But he's still being asked about, could you feel like you could come back for one more match? And his answer, This is what he said. His answer was, if I had to, I feel like I can squeeze one out. This is coming back for a match. This is not a fucking bowel movement. Let the man enjoy his retirement. He doesn't have to come back. He's done. He doesn't have to squeeze anything out. But The Undertaker retired. And Chris Jericho off working for another company, Triple H, right? Just announced his retirement. All these guys that they used to trot out there at least once a year for WrestleMania, they're few and far between. They're pretty much all gone. They're going to need stars. And the only way to get stars is to create stars. And so they potentially have one in Cody Rhodes. I think they opened the show with this match, which is why I'm talking about this match first. I would open the show on Saturday with Cody coming out as the surprise opponent for Seth Rollins. I would do that match. I would open the show in a hot way because, you know, people are going to be dying. A lot of people know who it is. Some people don't, who aren't following every little thing on the internet. But it is one of the top storylines on Raw now. People are going to be wondering who the opponent is, right? You're already giving him Stone Cold later on in the show. I would open the show with. And I think Cody Rhodes wins the match. I think he pins Seth with the same crossroads that he used to beat Rollins in that great tag team match of Battleground in 2013. It was the Shield against the Rhodes brothers, Cody and Dustin, Cody and Goldust. And it was Cody Rhodes in that match who pinned Seth Rollins, who sold the shit out of that crossroads. And he pinned him 1-2-3 so the Rhodes brothers can get their jobs back. I think history repeats itself at WrestleMania, and Cody should get the exact same pin on Rollins with the crossroads 1-2-3 here in this match. Then on Monday night, I would put a live mic in Cody's hand, and I would let him go ahead, the old work shoot. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of things to get off his chest. He doesn't even have to mention AEW by name, but even just from the last time we saw him, put a live mic in his hand. Promote the fact that Cody Rhodes is going to open up Monday Night Raw on Monday night with a live mic and nobody knows what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about why he's back. Nobody knows why. That's how you do it. Why is Cody Rhodes back in WWE? That should be one of the big Raw after WrestleMania moments. We then have Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods against Sheamus and Ridge Holland with Butch in their corner. Ugh. I hate even saying that name. Obviously, this was supposed to be a six-man tag. It was most likely going to be all three members of New Day against Butch, Holland, and Sheamus in a six-man tag before Big E suffered the broken neck. And it's going to be a tag team match now. Yeah, they could go with the feel-good moment and just give the win to the babyfaces, but I think you're pushing this new group on SmackDown. And there is potential, even though I don't like the Butch name, I like the pairing of Sheamus and Holland and Pete Dunne. And I think they could become a dominant force on that SmackDown brand. I would not beat them at WrestleMania. I would give the win to Sheamus and Ridge Holland. And they're my prediction as far as a winner in this match. New Day does not need to win this match. There's no need for New Day to win here. But I think you've got something potentially in this trio. They should not be going to WrestleMania and losing. In fact, I think it was the New Day. Was it against the League of Nations? I think the last time they were in this stadium at WrestleMania, I think the League of Nations won. Now, we know the League of Nations pretty much evaporated after that. They didn't go anywhere. I was never really a fan of them anyway. But it's kind of the same thing. You want to get this new group over, you give them the win. We've got Drew McIntyre one-on-one with Happy Corbin. Corbin and Moss stole McIntyre's sword on Raw Monday night. That's the second time in this feud that they have stolen that fucking sword. Moss also cracked another joke for the third time now that did not sit well with Baron Corbin. And so it's pretty clear at this point that the split is coming between those two, and it can't come soon enough. Maybe it'll come this weekend, but whenever it is, the split is coming between Happy and Madcap. Can't come soon enough. McIntyre missed a few weeks with what they thought might have been a serious neck injury. If you remember, they did the injury angle at day one. McIntyre was out for a few weeks, But there was genuine concern about, you know, what is the severity of the injury and these symptoms that he's experiencing. Thankfully for the company and thankfully for McIntyre, it turned out to not be too serious, and he was back a few weeks later. But that probably played a role in why McIntyre has just felt so phased down going into WrestleMania this year. I believe that if he didn't have any sort of injury or injury scare, that he would be in a different match. Now, who it would be against, I don't know. I don't think he would be wrestling Baron Corbin, though, at WrestleMania. But that's how the chips fell for him this year. I don't know what else they would have had him doing, honestly, because it's pretty clear that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar was always going to be the direction for the show. You know, McIntyre, if you consider Brock to be part of SmackDown, which I don't think technically he is, McIntyre is the number one babyface on the brand. But I don't think they would have been doing that match at WrestleMania this year. But if they want to build up McIntyre as the challenger to the championship later this summer, you know, they got a big UK stadium show coming up in September, supposedly. I would not have him losing to Baron Corbin, a man who calls himself Happy Corbin at WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre is going to win this match. We have the Usos defending the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. I don't do it quite the way that he does it. The Usos are already the longest reigning SmackDown Tag Team Champions of all time. Almost 260 days they have held those titles for. Nakamura is no stranger to the SmackDown Tag Belts either. He held them once before with Cesaro. This is one of those matches on the card I feel like, you know, they're getting them on the card. They're giving them something to do. It's nice the titles are being defended. It's not nice that the tag team division as a whole across the entire company is just a fucking mess. They have two sets of tag team titles. They don't really have a great tag team division to support one set of belts, let alone two. And so this is what you end up with. You know, they've paired Nakamura off with Boogs to try to help get Boogs over, and I think it's working to a degree. You know, he comes out, he does the whole shtick, everybody sings along with him. They've kept him limited in the ring. We haven't seen him in any really long matches yet. But the guy's got charisma coming out of his pores. So, you know, it's great. I mean, if he could turn into a star for them on the roster, I think that's great. But, you know, these makeshift teams they slap together like this, it doesn't do much for me. I don't have a whole lot of excitement for this match. And frankly, I don't see any reason to change the titles. I think the Usos win. I think the Usos should win. When it comes time for the Usos to drop those belts, I would like to think that it would be to a team that's a lot stronger than Nakamura and Rick Boogs. So I'm going with the Usos in that match. And then we have Becky Lynch taking on Bianca the Barber Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. It all goes back to SummerSlam. Bianca Belair against Sasha Banks. They were promoting a WrestleMania rematch that I was very much looking forward to seeing. And then SummerSlam came, and Sasha Banks all of a sudden was removed from the card. And we still to this day haven't been told what the hell happened with Sasha Banks. Everybody was speculating maybe it was COVID, maybe, who knows? Who knows? We're probably never going to know for sure. But that was a huge match on the card that was taken away. They didn't bother to announce it, even though they knew days in advance, maybe a week in advance, that Sasha was not going to be on the card. They kept it close to the vest. They didn't say anything. They continued to advertise, false advertise, a match that they knew was not going to be taking place. But they figured, well, we'll send Becky Lynch out there, and that'll make up for the absence of Sasha Banks, because Becky Lynch is going to be making her big return. That was Becky's first appearance since she gave up the Raw Women's title after WrestleMania 36 a couple months later. Becky came out, and she got this great reaction, and the bell rang, and then she pinned Bianca in 26 seconds. To become the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And so began the slow heel turn. They took one of their hottest baby faces in the company and turned her heel. And there were reports that at first, it was Becky's idea. It was Becky who wanted to go heel. And then we found out later on from Becky herself, it wasn't her idea. But she now talks about how she's embraced it and she's learned to make it work and she's having the time of her life. Well, I'm glad somebody is having the time of their life. I still think it was a mistake to turn her into a heel when they did. But that's how the ball got rolling on this feud, and they've been trying to keep Bianca strong. They haven't, you know, buried her or anything like that. She hasn't gone on some kind of a losing streak. So they've tried their best to keep her as strong as possible. I think she was the sole survivor or one of the survivors, I think, at Survivor Series. She's beaten Doudrop about 28,000 times, it feels like, on television, right? Always, it's impressive for her to pick up Doudrop on her shoulders and give her the KOD, but my God, I mean, how many times are we supposed to watch this? And then, of course, she got the win in the Elimination Chamber. And then it felt like things really died down a lot. Becky got hurt. She suffered a legitimate throat injury. She was, I think she missed maybe a week or two. And then they did a storyline injury angle with Bianca, and then she missed a week. And so then she was back on television this week, and she, you know, came out, and Becky was threatening to cut off Bianca's braid. I'm surprised nobody else has threatened to do that up to this point. But her attempt backfired, and she ate two KODs before Bianca cut off some of Becky's hair. And she left Becky's hair strewn about all over the ring. There's only one way for this story to end. And I've been saying it for months. I mean, it's common sense. There's no need for a swerve. There's no need for a surprise. There's no need to try to get cute. This ends in one way only. That is with Bianca Belair winning the Raw Women's Championship and getting her revenge on Becky Lynch for the 26-second embarrassment at SummerSlam in August. That's it. There is no other outcome for this match. Bianca Belair should win, and she will win, and she will get, I was going to say get the belt back, but really she had the SmackDown Women's title. This is the Raw Women's title. So when she wins the title on this show, it will be her first reign with the Raw Women's Championship. But again, that's really all that this needs to be. That's it. Then you've got other people like Rhea Ripley, who could feud with Becky, or she could challenge Bianca for the championship. You know, there's a few solid names they have, and other names that are on their way back soon. We'll see what brand they end up on. We've got The Miz and Logan Paul against Dominik and Rey Mysterio. I was surprised to see Rey get his mask back after Miz ripped it right off his head and stole it. And then Rey just got it back a week later. I thought they were going to hold off until WrestleMania, maybe have him get the mask back at WrestleMania. But he got the mask back and he pinned The Miz on television on Monday night. You would think they would have saved that, but I still think that the Mysterios are going to win this match here. You know, Logan Paul, he's got the personality to do this full-time if he really wanted to, and he's teased that this won't be the last time we see him in WWE, and this is something he could see himself doing, you know, maybe on a full-time basis in the future. They did the angle where Miz stole that mask to give it as a gift to Logan. Logan came out on Monday with the mask on as Lucha Logan. But as I said, Rey then got the mask back. Michael Cole, I have to mention this. Michael Cole joined the Raw announce team on television on Monday night because, again, it was all hands on deck. So they had talent from SmackDown. I guess they felt they had to put the SmackDown announcer in there. So he was there with Jimmy Smith and Corey Graves and Byron Saxton. And Cole said that the reason that Dominik does not wear a mask like his father does is because Rey had to earn it. That's what Rey Mysterio did, he said. When Rey was 17 years old, he earned the right to wear that mask. And that's why Rey wore the mask, and so far Dominik has not. Because Dominik, I guess, has not earned the right to wear the mask like his father did when he was 17. What Michael Cole failed to mention, or what they had Michael Cole fail to mention, is the fact that Dominik is almost a decade older than his father was when Rey got the mask at 17. I think Dominic's 25 at this point. So maybe when he turns 30, he'll finally have earned the right to put a mask over his face. After 7 years of people seeing what the fuck he looks like without one, maybe when he turns the big 3-0, they'll finally put a mask on Dominik Mysterio. This is building, I believe, to Logan Paul eating the double 619. They teased it on Monday. He escaped. Miz ate a double 619 instead. So I think we'll get the double 619, maybe on both of them at the same time, on Saturday night. And look, there have been little hints on television that Logan Paul could be going babyface at the end of this. You know, when they were in their hometown, right? They were in, that was a Cleveland, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And Miz started healing on the crowd, and they zoomed in on Logan Paul, and Logan was like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You know, you're, because Logan was soaking up the cheers, and he was really, you know, he was getting that cheap applause from the hometown crowd, and Miz just completely turned heel on them, and it didn't look like Logan was on board with that. So there's been little hints like that. They might try to turn Logan Paul, of all people, Logan Paul babyface at the end of this. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see about that. Charlotte Flair defends the SmackDown Women's Championship against Rowdy Ronda Rousey, the winner of the 2022 Royal Rumble match. Ronda Rousey, I'll just say this, very simple when it comes to this match. Ronda Rousey did not come back to WWE after 3 years away to win the Royal Rumble and then go to WrestleMania, only to lose to Charlotte Flair. I have a bridge where I live in Brooklyn that I can sell you if you believe otherwise. Ronda Rousey is going to be the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Ronda Rousey will beat Charlotte Flair. And it's no skin off Charlotte Flair's back, because she knows she'll get the belt back in a few months or a year, however long it takes. Right? She's got to beat her father's record. Where is she now? 13? How many women's titles does Charlotte Flair won so far? I think she's up to 13. Or is it 11? I've lost track. I don't know. She'll hit 16 within the next couple of years. She has to lose in order to win, right? She can't rack up those title wins unless she loses the title first. Ronda Rousey is going to beat Charlotte Flair and become the new champion. If this was not a wrestling match, if this was, let's say, a promo battle instead at WrestleMania, I would bring a pillow with me. That's how I have felt about the build to this match over the last several weeks, especially when it comes to Ronda Rousey promos. This woman has been an absolute bore on the microphone. Just the most wooden, monotone delivery of her promos, as if she is trying to remember the lines that were scripted for her. Just completely boring. This does not feel like a WrestleMania match. I don't care if the show is 3 nights. This does not feel like a WrestleMania main event. And a lot of that has to do with all of these promo segments that have been building to the match. I mean, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong. They've done a very basic story. The story they're telling is that Charlotte Flair says that Ronda Rousey is a one-trick pony. All she has is the arm breaker. She doesn't have anything else. And so Ronda has been trying to show her that she has other moves in her arsenal, like the ankle lock that she learned from Kurt Angle when they were tag team partners a few years ago. That's the basic gist of the story going into this match. And there's nothing wrong with that story, but the delivery of all of these segments on television, my God. It's the cure for insomnia. The match should be a hell of a lot better than the build. I was a big fan of their match at Survivor Series in 2018. They have had a singles match before. If you've never seen their first match, go back and watch that match at Survivor Series. It had a cheap DQ finish. But that was when Becky got her face caved in by, Nia the Terrible. And then it was Charlotte against Ronda instead of Becky against Ronda, which we still haven't gotten, by the way, one-on-one. And they ended up having an excellent match. If they can channel what they had in the ring for that match, this will be a very good match. But I have not been a fan of the build-up to this at all. But not a doubt in my mind that Ronda Rousey is going to walk out of this thing with the SmackDown Women's Championship. And according to reports, these are unconfirmed reports, but according to reports, closing out night one of WrestleMania, although remember, this stuff is always subject to change the day of. That's a shoot. Things are changing by the hour on the day of WrestleMania. In fact, one of these WWE documentaries, it was Seth Rollins, I think, who told the story of the match that he had with Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 35, that ended up opening the show. They were supposed to go on later in the show, but not the main event. Brock didn't like that. If I'm not going on last, I'm going on first. And so a couple of hours maybe before the pay-per-view, they bumped that WWE title match up to the opener of WrestleMania. So this shit is changing constantly. But the belief right now is that closing out night one of WrestleMania will be the KO show with Kevin Owens hosting his very special guest here in the state of Texas, Stone Cold Steve Austin. That is the belief right now, that Stone Cold is going to be back, if you consider this to be the main event, back in the main event of WrestleMania. Kevin Owens technically would have his first main event of WrestleMania. What a great story for Kevin Owens, right? This guy is like the Forgotten One. They had a faction in WWE called the Forgotten Sons. The real Forgotten Son in WWE for many years has been Kevin Owens. Every year, he gets drafted from Raw to SmackDown, falls through the cracks. They don't really do anything with him. He begs to be drafted to the other show so that he can have a fresh start. He goes to the other show, and inevitably, the same thing happens. Fast forward a year, he wants to go back to the other show. They take him for granted. But now he's had the chance to sink his teeth into something fun, and he may end up closing out his first, and probably, let's be honest, if he does, it'll be the only time that Kevin Owens probably ever closes out of WrestleMania. I'm happy for him. If it works out that way, I'm happy for him. And look, if it were almost anybody else, other than Stone Cold Steve Austin in this position, Stone Cold in Texas, I would say that it's yet another crappy example of them copping out on the whole the winner of the Royal Rumble goes to the main event of WrestleMania stipulation. Because I do believe that if you win the Royal Rumble match, you should go to the main event of WrestleMania. And the main event is not the opener. The main event is the match that closes out the show. I do believe that. And now they have two nights of WrestleMania, so you can have the Women's Royal Rumble winner headline night one. You could have the Men's Royal Rumble winner headline night two, or whichever, honestly, whichever is the bigger match. If they had a bigger women's match than the men's match, I would say put the women on the main event of night two. But that's how it should be done. But when I went on my little rant about this, because you guys remember, I talked about this weeks ago, and I went on a little bit of a mini rant, and I said, this is bullshit. All this nonsense, you go to the main event of WrestleMania, and then you fucking curtain jerk the show. That's not what that is supposed to be. It should not be that way. But I made an exception. I said there are certain circumstances. There are certain circumstances where you have a star that is just so big, or there is an attraction so large, like when The Rock came back in Miami, right? In his hometown. WrestleMania 28, which ended up being the biggest WrestleMania main event of all time, box office-wise. In that situation, The Rock is not going to play second fiddle to CM Punk against Chris Jericho. I'm sorry. The Rock and John Cena goes on last, even without a championship at stake. There are exceptions. I think that Stone Cold in Texas, even though it's technically not officially a match, it makes all the sense in the world to close out the show, because this right here, I think, is the segment that most people are going to be looking forward to on the first night of WrestleMania. Yes, I understand that not everybody in that stadium is going to be a resident of the state of Texas, but it's still Stone Cold in Texas being built up clearly for something more than just a talk show segment. This is what should close out the first night of WrestleMania this year. Hey, look, technically Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, if they're the last match on the show, right, they're still kind of the main event of WrestleMania. But Owens and Seth Rollins both, I have to give both men kudos, because Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins have spent the last several weeks building their respective stories for WrestleMania on television all by themselves. They have not had the benefit of playing off of their opponent, because they have had no opponent there to play off of. Owens has had to carry this thing all by himself, because Austin, outside of one pre-recorded video that they aired on TV, has had absolutely nobody to play off of. He has had to do all of this by himself. He has had to carry the interest in this storyline, in this feud, through his promos, through his words. And it was Stone Cold who told him in the airport all those years ago, when Owens was first getting into the business, he was an independent wrestler, and oh, there's Stone Cold, and him and Sami Zayn went over to go say hello. and get their picture with Stone Cold. And he said, if you had one piece of advice, what would it be for me? And Austin said, don't ever stop running your mouth. And that was the tipping point for Kevin Owens when he realized that he had to be the loudmouth, obnoxious personality that he became in Ring of Honor and all the other places that you've seen him in. Even during his matches, he's trash-talking his opponents. He's looking out into the crowd and making smarmy comments. It was because Stone Cold gave him that piece of advice. Don't ever stop running your mouth. Always be talking. Well, here we are all these years later, and Owens has had nothing to do but talk to sustain interest in this storyline, because otherwise it wouldn't have made any sense to have Austin on TV. You're not promoting a match. You're promoting a talk show segment. You can't have Stone Cold on Raw to talk when you're promoting a talk show segment for WrestleMania. So Owens has had to go this alone. Rollins, too. Rollins has had no opponent. He comes out every week laughing like the fucking Joker in his suits doing that laugh. I don't know, the Joker or the Riddler. Take your pick. I don't know what he's trying to be. But again, he's had nobody really to play off of. Owens has been cutting promos. He's been dressing up as Stone Cold. But again, Austin has not made a single appearance. But he did say that Owens has lit a fire in him in a way that has not happened in the 19 years since we last saw him in the ring of WrestleMania in Seattle against The Rock. Because we've seen Austin on WrestleManias before. In fact, Austin was in a talk show segment of WrestleMania 21 with Rowdy Roddy Piper. He's been a special referee. He's driven an RV down to the ring. He's given stunners. The last time they were in this stadium in Texas, in fact. He beat up the League of Nations. He hurt himself, but he beat up the League of Nations, and then he gave, you know, Xavier Woods a stunner, and he drank beer. This has to be more than him coming out and giving Kevin Owens a stunner and drinking beer. And it's going to be more than that. They are not promoting this in the way that they are, being very wishy-washy about what it is. Even Austin in his video, when he accepted the invitation, you remember what he said? He said, whether it's a match or a brawl or a KO show, like he literally said, whether it's a match, whether it's a brawl. They're all but telling you, yes, this might not be an official match, but you're going to get more than just a stunner. You're going to get more than just a couple of fists and a stunner. They clearly have more planned. Austin, you know, 57 years old, he's said to be in tremendous shape. He's been training. He's got a ring at home. I know he was gifted a ring by High Spots last year as just as a gift. So I don't even think it's something that WWE sent him. Austin has a wrestling ring at home. He's said to be in tremendous shape. I'm sure he's been taking some bumps and getting ready. Taking some flat backs. Yeah, I mean, he did that during Tough Enough, too. It's not like Austin hasn't taken bumps in the last 19 years. But they badly wanted Austin for a match. Clearly, he wouldn't agree to one. And I, you know, I wonder if this was the compromise, to be perfectly honest with you. Maybe he just didn't trust himself enough to let them go ahead and promote this as a match and get it in people's heads. Holy shit, Stone Cold is going to have a match. And then people's expectations are sky high. I almost wonder if we are going to get basically a match, even if there's no referee and there's no bell. We're going to get a match. We're going to get a brawl. And maybe that's the way he wanted it. Without announcing it in advance, under-promise and over-deliver. I think there's something to that. Instead of over-promising and under-delivering and, oh, all right, well, that's not what I expected it to be. If these guys end up busting out in a big brawl, there's going to be a ton of people in the crowd who are, you know, jumping up and down with joy because they expected this to be a talk show segment. And now they're getting what ends up being an actual match, more or less. That's how I think this is going to go. It'll begin as a talk show segment. They'll end up having, I would think it has to go at least 5 or 7 minutes. Again, I don't think this is going to be a quick in and out type of thing, especially not if it's closing out the show. It can't be. It's got to be more than that. But if there was to be any kind of a fall, it's going to end with Stone Cold stunner, giving him the stunner. If there's a pinfall, of course, Austin would pin Kevin Owens. If there's got to be a winner, it's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. But right now, it's not any kind of an official match. I do think we'll get the Thez press. We'll get some of those signature Austin spots you know, here in this match, he'll sell, he'll make the comeback. That's basically a wrestling match. And it's the closest thing to one that we're going to get from Steve Austin, because it's been 19 fucking years. And frankly, I'm surprised we're even getting this. He's waited this long. He's aged by almost 20 years, and now he decides, you know what, now would be a good time to do something more than just coming out and hitting a couple of stunners. So I'm excited for it. They got me excited for this. And I just don't think Austin wanted to commit to anything in advance, because he didn't know. He didn't know if he could deliver the performance that he would want to give. And that's why I think they've had to be very coy about exactly what we're going to get here at WrestleMania. But something impromptu like this, you know, again, people have no real expectations. So, but again, people are going to be waiting for that glass to shatter. And when it does, that place is going to erupt. You saw what happened when Owens came out dressed as Austin a few weeks ago. Twice he got them. He played that music, the glass shattered. I think they were in Chicago and the place went nuts. Now magnify that. Let's say they had 7,000 people in the building that night. Magnify that by 60,000 plus in Texas. And you're going to get a monster reaction when this guy walks out to the ring to open up a can of whoop-ass. And I will say that Kid Rock video, they played a Kid Rock video with highlights of Austin's career, about a 3-minute video on Monday night. And it brought back all kinds of just fun memories for me. You know, it really was the greatest period, I think, to be a fan. You know, either the 80s or that late 90s period, especially if you were of a certain age, if you were a teenager, maybe you were college age. During that Monday Night War period and the Attitude Era and all that, when Austin was at his peak, when he was white hot on top of the world, he was the champion, Austin against Rock, Austin against McMahon, DX, all that kind of stuff. It was just the best. It was the best time to be a fan. And if Austin can bring even some of that back and, you know, even just give people a little taste of that, then I think that's a fine way to go off the air with WrestleMania. So, anyway. Kevin Owens, I feel happy for the guy. This is a nice little signing bonus. Remember, he re-signed a new contract a few months ago. So this is a nice signing bonus for him. He's got to be the happiest guy in the world. Are you kidding me? He gets to work with Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. Are you shitting me? I'm happy for him. Finally, for once, he is not the forgotten son in WWE. And no, he doesn't have to win. If he gets stunnered or if he gets pinned or whatever, oh my God, they're burying Kevin Owens. Are you kidding me? This is the biggest thing that Kevin Owens will probably ever do in his entire career. There is no man happier in the world right now than Kevin Owens without even asking him. I can guarantee you there is nobody happier, regardless of how things play out at WrestleMania, than Kevin Owens. I think he is very pleased with the decision that he made. And that brings us to WrestleMania Sunday. Yes, Lakers, Pats in the chat. I do have to agree. One of the great missed opportunities, unfortunately, was not doing Austin and Punk. I guess it would have been WrestleMania 29. That would have been a great time for Austin to come back and have another match. But that ship sailed a long time ago, so. Nothing you can do about it now, but we can move on to WrestleMania Sunday. And I do want to thank everybody who is joining me live. And shout out to Game Mode Retro, one of our channel members. 2010? Actually, I think the Punk and Austin thing, was that 2011, right? When Austin was there as the guest host for Raw, and they did that segment in the back where Punk was giving him the what treatment, and Austin said, like, you know, damn son, like, what do you want? And Punk was like, it's annoying, isn't it? And Austin says, it is annoying. He says, I'm here to give you a breathalyzer, Steve. Can you read the alphabet backwards? And Austin goes, no, but I could whip your ass backwards. I'm telling you, a missed opportunity. And he was about 10 or 11 years younger, too, when they could have done that match. But anyway, we do move on here to WrestleMania Sunday. Thank you, Abbas. That's very nice of you to say. I appreciate that. Yes, indeed. Hit that like button. Forgot to mention that. Hit that like button. It helps the visibility of the videos. We've got Bobby Lashley one-on-one with Omos. Omos has been squashing people for weeks now. This week it was the Viking Raiders, who could not have possibly looked any weaker than they did on Monday night. Those two have been completely neutered. After the match was over, though, Bobby Lashley made his return. That was his first appearance since the Elimination Chamber. They took him out. He had the shoulder injury. He was supposedly going to Dr. Andrews in Birmingham to be evaluated, and then we didn't hear anything, which I thought was very odd, that we didn't hear any news about his condition, about him going under the knife, about when he might be back, if he did have surgery. So I assume that meant that he didn't have surgery. I didn't expect him to be back this soon. But there he was. On Monday night, he took the big man down with a shoulder tackle, the first man to take Omos off of his feet, not even saving it for WrestleMania. He just went and took him off his feet on television on Monday night. That's probably as good as it's going to get for Bobby Lashley, because I don't see him having a whole lot of success here in this match. Lashley, by the way, is officially back as a babyface. I saw PW Insider mention that today on the internal roster. It was pretty obvious from Monday night, but he is now officially back as a babyface. Hopefully still with MVP. I think it would be crazy to split them up with no explanation whatsoever. At least shoot a fucking angle. I mean, my God. So I assume MVP will still be with him, but he is a babyface now going forward. I don't think that they have been pushing Omos for this long just to have Lashley come in and have Omos tap to the Hurt Lock. I don't see it. He'll try to get the Hurt Lock on him. He's not going to succeed. Lashley is going to go down in defeat at WrestleMania. And again, look, this was a match that I originally was talking about months ago. They first teased this match in September. All right, they did a match on Raw. I think it was AJ and Omos against MVP and Lashley. And when Lashley and Omos got in the ring together, people were buzzing about it. It got a reaction from the audience. And that's when I knew. I said, okay, they're going to come back to this. I didn't know it was going to be at WrestleMania or not, but I knew they were going to come back to this. And then as the months went on, my fear became, uh-oh, when it looked like maybe they were going to split Lashley and MVP. There was a few weeks there where there was some tension between them. And I said, oh boy, we're going to get Lashley and Omos at WrestleMania. And here we go. I mean, they kind of took the long way of getting there, but we are getting the match at WrestleMania. We have Carmella and Zelina Vega defending the women's tag team titles in a fatal four-way on night two against Sasha Banks and Naomi, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, and the team of Shayna Baszler and Natalya. The women's tag team division is a complete dumpster fire. I mean, they went from being celebrated as some sort of progressive thing for the women to being a complete and total afterthought in this company. And the last thing, honestly, that I want to see is someone like Sasha Banks languishing in just some makeshift tag team. I say makeshift. I know the history with Team Bad and all that. Sasha Banks, you know, we had her and Bayley together for all those months they were doing the tag team thing, and they were the tag team champions. I don't want to see Sasha Banks just back in another tag team, doing it all over again, only this time they've swapped Bayley out for Naomi. I mean, it would be great for Naomi, I guess. It gives her something to do. Even Naomi, I think, could do better than being saddled with the women's tag team titles, because you know exactly what's going to happen. If they win these titles, they're going to put the titles on them. They're probably going to continue to wrestle singles matches anyway, but it's not like they have a division. They have no division. There is no division to speak of. I don't want to see Sasha Banks languishing in another tag team just to hold these meaningless tag team title belts. There's no point in doing that. Carmella and Zelina, they've been losing on television a lot. They have been losing on, and they're the champs, and they've been losing on TV. I think the big swerve here, here's what I think. I think the big swerve here is that everybody expects that we're going to get new women's tag team champions on the show, and there's a very good chance that it's going to end up being Sasha Banks and Naomi. And I think just the opposite. I think that Carmella and Zelina are going to retain their tag team titles, specifically because, A, they've been losing a lot on TV, and B, everybody probably thinks they're going to lose. And then they're going to go in there, and they're going to win. They're going to steal a win. and they're going to retain their tag team titles. And Sasha Banks, that's the other thing. People think her streak is finally going to come to an end. Sasha Banks is 0-6 at WrestleMania. She's got like a reverse Undertaker streak going on at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, I think that streak advances to 0-7 after Sunday night. I don't see those titles changing hands. I can't say that I'm as sure about this as I am some of the other matches on this show, but I don't see it. There was a really good match on SmackDown with these women a few weeks ago. I forgot if it was a... it might have been a tag match with everybody but the champs. I don't remember what the configuration of the match was, but I remember it being really good. It was actually the highlight of the entire show. So the potential is there for this to be actually pretty good when you look at some of the names in it. On a positive note, I mentioned Bayley a moment ago. Bayley is, I believe, cleared. She's ready to come back any day now. And Asuka, I don't know if Asuka's officially cleared yet. Asuka, though, shouldn't be too far behind. So forget the tag team titles. Bayley is on her way back, maybe as soon as next week. And Asuka should be on her way back soon as well. So a much-needed infusion is coming to the women's division on Raw and SmackDown. I mean, we'll see where they end up. Bayley and Asuka end up on separate brands, but they are both on their way back very soon. We have Sami Zayn, the former Intercontinental Champion one-on-one against Johnny Knoxville in an anything-goes match. Yes, Beowulf says that Sasha has got the Tito Santana streak going on at WrestleMania. Did Tito ever win a match at WrestleMania? I thought he won at the first. Didn't he win at the first WrestleMania? I thought he beat the Executioner or something at the first WrestleMania. I know... No, he didn't have... I don't think he had as bad of a streak as Sasha did, because didn't he win at WrestleMania 3, too? No, actually, no, he lost. That's right. Danny Davis and all that. I think he lost. And then Strikeforce lost at WrestleMania 4. They lost again at WrestleMania 5. Yeah. Yeah. But he's not... he didn't have a Sasha Banks streak. I'm almost sure about that. But Sami Zayn one-on-one with Johnny Knoxville, anything goes. Sami works his second consecutive WrestleMania with some sort of celebrity involvement. Last year, it was Logan Paul for the first time. This year, it's Johnny Knoxville. And, you know, next year, they're going to be in Hollywood. So, you know, take your pick as far as who Sami Zayn can work with next year. Maybe he can have a slap fight with Will Smith. Obviously, with the stipulation being what it is, we're going to have some involvement from the Jackass crew. So I will tell you, the only member of the Jackass crew outside of Johnny Knoxville that I know off the top of my head is Wee Man. I don't even offhand know the names of the other guys. So Wee Man and whoever the other Jackass crew members are, I'm sure we're going to see them. I'm sure we'll see Wee Man do something. Maybe he'll do a little Wee Splash off the top or something. But, Johnny Knoxville is going to win this match. There'll be some kind of insanity, some kind of stupid stunt, and the Jackass people will be there to support Knoxville, and Knoxville will pick up the win in the end. I don't really have anything else to say about this match, but at least Sami is getting some kind of a high-profile match at WrestleMania. We have Randy Orton and Matt Riddle defending the Raw Tag Team titles against the Street Profits and the Alpha Academy. I saw part of Randy Orton's interview with Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee Show, and it was very interesting that Orton, I don't remember the context, but he brought up having worked with members of the NXT roster in the past. And I assume he was referring to members from the Black and Gold era, because Orton hasn't worked with anybody from the 2.0 era yet. It was very interesting. He was talking about, you know, learning now to have more appreciation for things, whereas there were parts of his career where he admits he was just kind of coasting and not putting his full, you know, his full effort into it. And he mentioned the fact that having worked with some of the NXT talent, what his quote was, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. He's been in the ring with them before. And he's describing the way that you're supposed to sell and how they sell now and how they're being taught. And he goes, yeah, I know, because I've been in the ring with these NXT talents and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. And he said it's a real shame. So, again, I didn't see the full interview, but Orton in those environments is usually a really good interview because he doesn't give a fuck. So he'll just speak his mind and say whatever's on his mind. And anyway, I'm sure that raised a few eyebrows in NXT, him making that comment. But the Street Profits, something is going on with the Street Profits. That's something I believe is a heel turn. We saw them interfere in the main event on Raw Monday night and attack RK-Bro. I think the Street Profits are going to be going heel soon. I do. It's just a vibe I get from some of the segments they've done on television in recent weeks. And frankly, I think they could use a change. I mean, long term, it's Montez Ford as a singles heel. I mean, I'm sorry, Angelo Dawkins, but adios. It's Montez Ford. Long term as a singles heel. In fact, I would do Montez Ford as a singles heel with Bianca Belair on television, and she can kind of dominate the women's division, and he could be, you know, a solid addition, I think, as a singles heel to the roster. They could be like the new power couple in WWE. But in the meantime, I think the Street Profits, so long as they're going to be together as a team, they could use a change, and I think they win the tag team titles here in this match. I think this maybe new attitude of theirs, if they're going to have one, I think pays off for them in this match, and I think they win the titles from RK-Bro. Because I don't see them putting the belts back on Gable and Otis. I enjoyed Gable and Otis as the champs, but they're not getting the belts back here. So I'm going with the Street Profits to win the tag team titles. Speaking of Pat McAfee, how about that? He's in the next match. Pat McAfee gets his first ever WrestleMania match one-on-one against Austin Theory. Originally, the rumors were that Vince McMahon himself was going to be wrestling Pat McAfee at WrestleMania, and that sounded positively awful. That was a terrible idea. But we still might get Vince McMahon involved in some way. I am not ruling out the possibility that Vince McMahon might actually be ringside for this match. He might have some kind of physical involvement in this match at WrestleMania, but he's not wrestling. This match could actually turn out to be very entertaining. You know, McAfee took to it like a duck to water. The couple of matches he had in NXT, I think one was a War Games, but he had that singles match with Adam Cole. It was an excellent match. He has a certain aptitude for it. He is an athlete. He's got the athletic background. And I think this could turn out to be very entertaining. And again, Vince may not be wrestling, but I'm going to say we see Vince McMahon take a bump of some kind, even if it's a punch. I think Vince McMahon will take some kind of a bump in this match. I think Pat McAfee is going to pull it out and pick up the win. So McAfee is my prediction in that match. And that brings us to the match that probably, I won't say the match. I think really it's these next two matches. But this is one of the matches I am most looking forward to on WrestleMania this year. We have the newly heel Edge taking on AJ Styles. And as far as matches are concerned, this one, I have high hopes. I have high expectations for this match. I had high expectations for AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania 34, and I was left underwhelmed. So I find it hard to believe that Edge and AJ Styles are going to go in a match that both of them have publicly said they desperately want. Well, now they have the match that they want. I find it impossible to believe that they're going to go in there and have anything other than an excellent match. A match that we've never seen before, a match that I never thought would be possible. I had never even gave any thought to the idea of AJ Styles against Edge because Edge was already retired by that point. And I never thought we'd see Edge back in the ring. Here we are. We get Edge and AJ at WrestleMania. I will say this, though. As much as I'm looking forward to the match, I am not really digging this heel Edge stuff. So far, you know, I watch these segments and these promo segments that he's been doing on TV. It feels like he's out there trying to win an Oscar. And not so much that he's out there with some kind of a legitimate beef or some kind of legitimate axe to grind with AJ Styles. He's out there and he's acting like the villain, but it's just, I don't know. It's too over the top for me. It came out of nowhere. I didn't buy into the explanation. It just felt like they turned him heel for the sake of turning him heel. And it was completely unnecessary. You know, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to go down that road. You know, you could just let the fans choose. You have two baby faces, two men that people love to cheer. Let them pick who they want to support going into the match of WrestleMania. You just go into it and let the fans choose. The match itself, I mean, it speaks for itself. To a lot of people, it's like a dream match. I just didn't think it was necessary for Edge to do this turn to the dark side and turn out the lights when he's out there. It's story time with Edge with the lights off. You know, spooky, Halloween, ooh. I just thought that, you know, it would have been better off, I think, to go a different way with it. You know, Edge as a heel 15 years ago carried SmackDown, the rated R superstar stuff that he was doing back then. He was a great villain. And look, if they commit to it, if this is not just him turning heel for this one match, the way Shawn Michaels turned heel in 2005 for one match at SummerSlam with Hulk Hogan and then went right back to being a babyface, if the idea is that this is the way Edge is going to be portrayed on television going forward, and I think that probably is the case going forward, then I think that he has to win this match, and I think he will. So my prediction is that Edge is going to defeat AJ Styles at WrestleMania on Sunday. Once the bell rings, the build takes a back. I could sit here and bellyache about the build, but the build will take a back seat to whatever we get in the ring, whatever they deliver inside the ring. And I think these two are going to deliver exactly what people are expecting. They're going to have a great match, but Edge is going to walk out with the win. And in what they are calling, and by they, I mean WWE. In what WWE is calling the biggest match, the biggest main event in WrestleMania history, it is winner-take-all championship unification, at least for a few weeks. We know that's not going to last. WWE champion Brock Lesnar, one-on-one with the Universal Champion Roman Reigns. Shout out to Maggle, who just subscribed to the channel. What's going on, Maggle? What is it that JBL used to say on commentary? We fight on Friday night. What was that stupid phrase that he used on SmackDown when he used to be the commentator? I've tried to block JBL out of my mind as much as possible. Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns. The last time we had a winner-take-all main event at WrestleMania was 3 years ago at WrestleMania 35 with the ladies. Before that, you would have to go all the way back to the Sky Dome in Toronto, WrestleMania 6, 1990, Hulk Hogan, the WWF champion against the Ultimate Warrior, the Intercontinental Champion, two baby faces, the two biggest baby faces in the company at that time. I will tell you, as a young wrestling fan, it was a very divisive match. You had fans of Hogan. You had fans of Warrior. I had friends of mine who loved the Warrior. I was on Team Hogan. They were on Team Warrior. It was really very split between people at the time. That's why I say, with the Edge and AJ stuff, let people choose. It's more fun that way. But that's how far back you would have to go with the men to find a winner-take-all match with the two top championships on the line and one person walking out with both belts. And that is one of the more memorable WrestleMania main events of all time. That was the biggest match that WWE could have possibly done at that time, was Hulk Hogan against the Ultimate Warrior. And I would say the same thing now about this match. Right now, at this moment, this is the biggest possible match that they could do in WWE, which is why this has a big fight feel to it. Even though we've seen this match before, time and time again, it is the biggest match that this company could put together for WrestleMania with the current roster. Okay, we're not going to start throwing out names of part-timers who come in, you know, once every 2 years. Their WrestleMania 31 match was excellent. Shout out to Alex for the sub. Their WrestleMania 31 match out in Santa Clara was excellent. It's an excellent match back in 2015, even before the Seth Rollins cash-in that made it, you know, legendary when it was over. Their WrestleMania 34 match was the exact opposite. whatever they had going for themselves at 31 was gone by the time they got to 34. At 31, the crowd was not completely against Roman Reigns. In fact, Roman Reigns had the crowd, a lot of the crowd, on his side. I remember when he made his entrance out there and the reaction that he got. By WrestleMania 34, they were sick to death of the Roman Reigns push. Even though he was the babyface still and Brock was the heel, you would never know it if you were in the building that night. That match was boring. It had very little crowd heat. I mean, it was scary how quiet the crowd was as that match was going along. And this is the WrestleMania main event. I was in the crowd for both of those matches. I was there at 31. I was there at 34. So I can tell you it was like night and day between those two matches. The fans were revolting at that point against Roman and his babyface push, and they cheered when he got beat after the sixth F5 of the match. And people were shocked because they weren't expecting it to be the finish of that match. Roman, just blood pouring down his face, and Brock just pins him 1-2-3. But people cheered. At least in my section, they did. Then I think people were kind of like, oh, wait a minute, that's it? And then they were left, you know, disappointed. Apparently, Brock was left disappointed, too, because when he went to the back, that's when he chucked the Universal belt over at Vince McMahon, who was sitting over at his position. And then, you know, Vince said, fuck you or go fuck yourself or whatever. I forgot what it was, one of those WWE 24 specials where they had the footage. But what makes this match different from those matches is the dynamic of Brock Lesnar as the babyface and Roman Reigns as the heel. And Paul Heyman this time is not with Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman is with Roman Reigns. The roles have been reversed. And that is what makes this different than their first two WrestleMania matches. It's a completely different dynamic and a completely different Brock Lesnar than the one that we had in those first two matches. This is a Brock Lesnar who has come out of his shell. This is a Brock Lesnar who looks like he's out there having fun. He's out there dressed like a fucking cowboy. I wouldn't be surprised if he rides a damn horse down the ramp. They're in Texas. It's probably not that hard for them to find a horse. They'll ride that horse down to the ring on Sunday night. A totally different Brock Lesnar than we had in those first two WrestleMania matches against Roman. They wrestled in Saudi Arabia at Crown Jewel. Lesnar lost that match back in October due to interference by the Usos. They were supposed to wrestle at day one. Roman got COVID, and it worked out better that way, though, because outside of the angle they shot at Madison Square Garden a few weeks ago, they have kept the two of them largely apart, and I liked the promo that Roman Reigns cut on Raw on Monday night. Roman was in the ring, and this was his last big push for the match on Sunday. And he's out there with the bloodline. He's got the mic in his hand. I didn't think the Lesnar promo at the beginning of the show on Monday was all that special. It was pretty much paint-by-numbers stuff. But Roman was in the ring on Monday night, and he talked about getting busted open by Brock in their last WrestleMania match in New Orleans, at WrestleMania 34. And he said it was so bad that his kids didn't recognize him. His father doubted him, Atha. His family, and he looked over at the Usos. He said his family was disappointed in him. He says he got his receipt by taking Lesnar's blood at Madison Square Garden. His final move would be taking Lesnar's title. He said, I'm going to make it personal because it has always been personal to me. I like that, even though he has made no mention of this up until 6 days before the show. But I like that callback to their last WrestleMania match, because he was a bloody mess when that match was over. And there were a lot of people who were disappointed. So you could believe that, you know, in storyline, you could believe that he feels like he let his whole family down. And, you know, Brock left him a bloody mess and he was embarrassed at the end of that WrestleMania. And it's been eating away at him ever since. 4 years, it's been eating away at him this entire time. And now he's going to Texas Stadium on Sunday. And he is going to be the one to leave Brock Lesnar in a bloody heap. I think Roman Reigns is winning this match. I think Roman Reigns is going to get his revenge on Lesnar for what he did to him 4 years ago. And Roman Reigns is going to end the night as both the Universal Champion and the WWE Champion, holding both belts up high. But I don't believe that is the way that the show is going to go off the air. The show is not going to go off the air just with Roman Reigns standing there posing. We got that last year. Roman Reigns stacked Edge and Daniel Bryan like cardboard, one on top of the other, and he retained his championship and he won at WrestleMania. They're not going to just go off the air with another Roman Reigns win as he celebrates, and then they fade to black. I think Roman Reigns is going to win, but my prediction is that we get the cliffhanger, what I'm calling the cliffhanger cameo. The cliffhanger cameo is something that we have seen a couple of times now with Roman Reigns during this run as the Universal Champion. Think back to Money in the Bank when he beat Edge. How did that show go off the air? John Cena's music hit, right? And out came John Cena. Everybody lost their fucking mind. And they left you with that cliffhanger that we're going to get a John Cena-Roman Reigns match, which is what we got at SummerSlam. Fast forward to SummerSlam in Las Vegas. Roman Reigns beats John Cena. He's posing with the title. He's got the title raised up high above his head. What happens next? We hear Brock Lesnar's music. Here comes Brock. Everybody loses their mind. And we are left with the tease of a Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match. Where is Paul Heyman's alliance, or allegiance rather? Where is Paul Heyman's allegiance going to be? We've seen this twice after big Roman Reigns wins. When Roman Reigns wins on Sunday, as he's celebrating his victory, this time I believe it is going to be The Rock who comes out to tease a match with Roman Reigns for WrestleMania in Hollywood next year. WrestleMania is in Los Angeles next year, well, Inglewood to be exact, but they're in Los Angeles next year. I would still be surprised if they can nail him down because he's a busy guy, but I do think that The Rock will come out. He'll be the surprise appearance at the end of the show. We'll get that face-to-face, and there it is. It doesn't even matter if the match happens next year. It'd be pretty shitty if it didn't, if they teased it. But just the moment itself, you get your cliffhanger cameo. First with John Cena, then with Brock Lesnar, now The Rock. The Rock is going to be the next guy to try to take this guy down. Because John Cena couldn't do it. Brock Lesnar couldn't do it. Can The Rock do it? And no, I would not put the championship on The Rock. I would not have The Rock beat Roman Reigns either. Unless, if Roman Reigns doesn't have the title by then it's fine. I don't care who wins the match. Although really, honestly, Roman should not be losing to The Rock. But that match doesn't even need to be for the championship. I mean, we could talk about that a different time. But it would still be a huge match that they can get on the WrestleMania card for next year. And they're in Hollywood. What better way to bring WrestleMania back to Hollywood by getting the biggest star in all of Hollywood to be in your main event next year? Although it would be a bad night, I guess, for all of the people who would like to see the winner of the Royal Rumble go to the main event of WrestleMania, but it is what it is. And that is your full, there you go. Tamjin Zephyr, thank you for the $25 Hardy Monster super chat. Lakers Pat says, real American plays, and Hogan pulls a WrestleMania 9. Hogan would pull something at WrestleMania. It would not be a WrestleMania 9. It would probably be a quad. It would be a hamstring. Oh, he'd pull something, all right, trying to make his way down to that ring. That is your WrestleMania 38 card. Boy, that's a long card. Well, it's two nights, though, so I guess it kind of makes sense. Tomas says, if he shows up at the main event, the match has to be non-title. Yes, I have said that now for a while. Rock and Roman, if they can do it for next year, it's a huge match for them to do. It does not need to be for the championship. Absolutely does not need to be for the title. The Rock does not ever again have to be a champion in WWE. They already did the comeback story with Rock 10 years after winning the championship. Been there, done that. Doesn't ever have to be done again. You can trot him out there for a big marquee match. Great. No need for the title to be on the line. So if you're holding out hope maybe for Drew McIntyre or somebody like that, it's a very good chance. Maybe Drew McIntyre will be the guy to take that belt from Roman later on in the summer. Maybe they call Bron Breakker up in the next few months, and Bron just catches fire on the main roster, and Bron Breakker goes on to beat, you know, Roman Reigns. You know, who knows? Who knows? But that is how I think WrestleMania will go off the air. Temjin says, so if Rock loses, who dethrones the tribal chief? I guess nobody. The tribal chief will reign until it's time for him to retire. There you go. He'll be the only man ever to do that. Well, I am very interested to dip into your predictions here and see what you guys have to say about this WrestleMania card and what you think might be going down over the course of this weekend. Again, I'm going to be with you tomorrow night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday night. You're going to get a lot more Solid Monster over these next few days. Everybody who is joining right now, thank you for joining me on a rare Thursday night stream. Usually an off night for me, but you guys have showed up strong. I appreciate it. All right, we begin with Naif. Alsafar, thank you for those $2.99 super chats, Naif. Heard from Naif last night. Naif is right back at it again tonight. Oh, Jolly Burgos with the 10 spot. Just wanted to say that Seth is my new favorite straight white guy in wrestling. Says, sorry, Solemn Monster, you're still top three. Well, that's good to know. He's bounced back from Hell in a Cell 2019 and was able to carry a WrestleMania feud by himself. Truly Hall of Fame stuff. Ojali also says, it's great to see NXT doing consistently good ratings, even outdrawing New Japan. And come on now. New Japan does... What ratings does New Japan do? They're not on a real network. I don't count New Japan. They are doing better than Rampage, but again, that's not saying much. Rampage is a taped one-hour show at 10 o'clock on a Friday night. I wouldn't exactly take that as some great victory. But he says, it is my favorite show, and it's not too late to hop on the bandwagon. It has its moments, but NXT is not what he used to be. But I'm glad you enjoy it. Shin Akuma, joining us yet again tonight with the $20 Super Chat drop. Man, they really got us. Speculating, knowing the WWE, he says, we could end up with Elias or Shane McMahon. The thought of Cody showing up is seemingly more... less welcome to the Solid Monster Party Night 2 Bay Bay. Again, it will be Cody Rhodes. Do not buy into the hype. It will be Cody Rhodes. Tibbs, hope all is well. Things are indeed very well. I'm feeling good. I'm on a roll. I'm in that WrestleMania rhythm this week. You got a good thing going here on the channel. Thank you for the $20, by the way. Ted Evans with the 5. Who is the greatest European champion ever? Also, what is your biggest WWE pet peeve? Mine is the artificial crowd noise. Mine is the constant camera cuts and camera shaking. Drives me absolutely nuts. Who is the greatest European champion of all time? I gotta go British Bulldog. I think the first one is the best. Anderson Blitz. WrestleMania being two nights is WWE's attempt to be like New Japan. Hector the Finn. I'm going to night 2 of WrestleMania. My first Mania. We'll have fun. You will have fun. You will have fun. The WrestleMania has got progressively less fun for me because of how long and exhausting the shows were. If they keep that third night to like 3.5 hours, 4 at the most, you're going to be in that big ass stadium. You know, I mean, you're going to have a good time. Especially if it's your first one. You will always have fun the first time that you go. You always remember your first. Flamethrower, just sending some love from Tampa, my friend. Well, thank you, Flamethrower. It's very nice of you. Casey is raw with the $5 super chat. I'm heading to my third WrestleMania, going both nights. I've been to X7 and 29. Wish me a good Mania. Well, have a good time. I was at 29, too. You should have said hello. Good luck finding me in that stadium, though, but you should have said hello. Chase Wood. If Cody doesn't show up to fight Rollins, who would you like to see fill the spot? It will be Cody. It will be Cody Rhodes. If Cody got run over by a tractor trailer crossing the street to the stadium, then who would I like to see? Just such a horrible thing to say. But if that happened and Seth Rollins suddenly needed a new opponent for WrestleMania, I mean, all of the main players are really accounted for on the main roster right now. I might just pluck somebody out of NXT, honestly, somebody like an LA Knight or something, and put him in there with Rollins. I mean, you're talking about it as if it wasn't Cody to begin with. I mean, then you could come up with, I mean, anybody you want, but it's going to be Cody. Again, unless something horrible happens to Cody and then they have to just pull somebody at the last minute, it's going to be Cody. But look, Shane is in town. Shane is in town. Undertaker is in town. Remember, Undertaker said he could squeeze one more out if he had to. I want you all to visualize that, by the way. I want you all to visualize the Undertaker squeezing one out, what that might look like. Hopefully none of you are having dinner at the moment as you watch this stream. All you West Coast folks, dinner time where you are. Phoenix Knight. It might just be me, but Brock against Roman almost feels like a no-win situation. A Brock win means the belt most likely disappears, but a Roman win triggers who's left to credibly dethrone Roman Reigns. I got news for you. If Brock Lesnar wins, you're in the same boat as far as who's left. They have done a horrible, horrible job of building up their upper card scene, really, on both shows. Even if they still had Jeff Hardy, if Jeff Hardy didn't leave, they'd still be in the same boat. That's their fault. You're going to have the same issue with Brock Lesnar, more or less, than you would have with Roman Reigns if he wins. Either way, they're in a tough spot coming out of WrestleMania. Jacob Donnelly with a $25 super chat. This was the first WrestleMania ever that I debated skipping for weeks. If it wasn't for the Cody intrigue and overall spectacle, don't know if I would watch this year. Hopefully some entertainment can come. You'll get some entertainment. Look, I don't think the entire show is going to be a complete waste. You know, sometimes it's those WrestleManias that you go into it feeling very nonplussed by the whole thing that end up, you know, being some of the more enjoyable ones. Kobe O with the $4.99. What if they recreate the way the Hardys returned at WrestleMania 33, but with Shane teasing to wrestle Rollins, who is in the ring, and then Cody comes out? I don't like that idea, because you're just playing to the hardcores if you do that. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people, even some of the more casual viewers, I think, from the chants every week and everything, they probably picked up that something is up with Cody Rhodes. But if you just send Shane out there, you might actually have people who are in the audience who don't know from what's going on, who are happy to see Shane McMahon. They're like, oh my God, it's Shane! You know, like, But you might have people in the audience who are like that. And then if you take that away, they might be disappointed. They might see Cody and go, no, I want Shane. I wouldn't do that. I think you're running a risk by doing that. All you're doing that for is to pop a very, you know, sort of niche segment of the people that are going to be watching WrestleMania this year. It's not really something I could see WWE doing. Joseph Brooks, can you see the Street Profits turning heel or just Montez? No, I can see both of them turning heel. Rodimus Prime with the 15. Have you ever watched the True Story of WrestleMania documentary? If so, what are your thoughts? Currently watching it now. It's crazy how if the first WrestleMania did not succeed, WWE would be non-existent. I think I watched that many years ago. I watched it many years ago. Vaguely remember it, but the whole story about Vince and Linda, you know, putting everything on the line, I mean, that's been told many times before. I was aware of that, so. I remember a documentary they aired on TV called The Mania of WrestleMania, which was about WrestleMania 19. That was a pretty good one, too. Especially the end of it, my God. I mean, you have Brock Lesnar falling on his head, almost killing himself. Kurt Angle is in shock. He's got the horrible neck injury. He's like in the back in the locker room, completely buck naked, just in shock, being tended to, I think, by the medics. Brock doesn't know where he is. He's like a wild boar. They're trying to calm him down. He's completely concussed. I mean, it was just a wild scene. They just so happened to be filming for it. Michael Cuomo, how long until Brian Cage makes his way to WWE? At least a year, because he got rolled over by Tony Khan, so he's in AEW for at least another year. The Prodigy, should MVP manage Omos in the future? Wouldn't be a bad idea. Omos is just fucking terrible, and he's even worse on the mic. He should not have a microphone in his hand. He should not have a microphone in his hand any more than Andre the Giant should have had a microphone in his hand. And I know Andre was this great attraction, but my God, if you go back, especially late stage Andre in the later years of his career, they'd put a mic in front of his hand, or a mic in front of his face. I'm going to squeeze the life out of you, and I'm going to enjoy it. That's my Andre impression. Joe Crowded Show, what's going on, Joe? Good to hear from Joe. Says, kisses. Loves and kisses. Right back at you, my friend. Right back at you. I hope you're doing well. I noticed, by the way, Joe is going to be walking through the Forbidden Podcast door. I think he's going to be popping up on Don Tony's channel. Was it next week or the week after? I think it's next week. I believe it's next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, I believe. So definitely check out Joe on DT Show. Shin Akuma, now I am convinced that he is coming, LOL. Thanks, your words convinced me. I really had my doubts about Mr. Cody. Yeah, don't worry. Cody is coming. Cody is coming. Not coming like Veer is coming, but Cody is coming. John Falchetta, they should hit Triple H's music and then Cody comes. I wouldn't be surprised if Cody wants to come out to Triple H's music. He might just inherit Triple H's entire entrance. You know, Kevin Owens had to ask permission from Stone Cold. He was like, can I use the stunner? And he gave him his blessing to start using the Stone Cold stunner. I wouldn't be surprised if Cody knocks on his door. Hey, Trips, can we talk here? Now that you're not using it anymore, I'd love to use your music and your throne and your sledgehammer, golden shovel. I sound like Batman. I was trying to sound like Andre. Apparently, I sounded like Batman. Well, it's not my Russo impression or my Josh Matthews impression, but I tried my best. Oofman Entertainment, over under on Cody taking some shots at AEW. I don't think he's going to take any shots at AEW. I think when he left AEW, I think he and Tony Khan had an agreement that neither side would disparage the other anyway. I don't know if that's in writing, you know, I don't know about that, but you know, Cody has a lot of friends, he has family that still works there. I don't see him coming out and taking pot shots at AEW. You know, he might allude to them in some way, but as far as like bashing them or taking a shot at them, I don't see that happening. I don't see the need for that. Michael Cuomo, would you say the 24/7 is now more 24/7 title is more prestigious than the IC title? It gets more television time than the IC title does. In fact, I expect there to be a 24/7 segment on WrestleMania either of the two nights. I bet you the 24/7 title makes it onto WrestleMania this year and the IC title doesn't. Cameron Spencer, I'm late. No notification. What 120-minute Iron Man match would you rather see? Rosa Mendez against Eva Marie or Great Khali against Giant Gonzalez? What? I mean, you know, with Eva Marie, I mean, I guess it really depends what does that 120 minutes look like? What kind of match are we talking about here? I'll take that over the Great Khali. Shin Akuma, fun fact, Rhea Ripley has entered her third Mania match for a championship. Good resume, but of course, she deserves better. Yeah, we got to get her out of this tag team shit. I mean, this is ridiculous at this point. Juan Bermudez. I'm still on the fence about watching WrestleMania 38, but I will be going to my first New Japan show in 2 weeks. Thanks for everything you do. You're the man. That's very cool. I would love to go to a New Japan show one of these days. See, I'd love to go to a New Japan show at the Tokyo. It's on my bucket list of things to do one day. One day, I'd like to make it over there. Jay Fish, thanks for all you do. You get me through tough times. Well, I do what I can do. And that's all I can do, is what I do. I'm glad that you find the show helpful, man. That means a lot. I love hearing from people who say that the show helps them in some form or fashion, takes their mind off their, you know, bullshit in their life or whatever may be going on. I love hearing that. Temjin Zephyr with the $25 Hardy Monster Super Chat. AJ Styles against Edge is a match I'm definitely looking forward to most, since both are my favorite wrestlers. However, it sucks that I don't know who to root for. Have you had a scenario like this before? If so, what matches? No, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever had a match where I've struggled with who to root for. I mean, you know, even as a kid, I don't really remember there being a match where I was torn. You know, WrestleMania 6, I was firmly in the Hogan camp. You know, fuck the Warrior. But, no, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one. I'll have to give this some more thought. That's a good question, though. Tomas, I just realized, what is Bray Wyatt doing? Isn't he filming a movie? I thought he was filming a movie. I don't know about you. I have very little interest in, Bray Wyatt coming back to WWE or even going to AEW. I think I'm over it. I think I'm over the whole thing. Shin Akuma, thank you for all that you do. Thank you, sir. Lamar Smith with a $9.99. If The Rock and Stone Cold end both nights of WrestleMania with good segments, you have to give the show a 7 out of 10. I know it's kind of sad, but as an old school fan, I don't mind it one bit. That is true. I hadn't really thought about that, but that's true. Austin may well close out WrestleMania Night 1, and if my prediction is true and we get a Rock cameo, we could have The Rock closing out WrestleMania Night 2. It is kind of sad, isn't it? It is kind of sad, but here we are. It would be like the first WrestleMania in 85. Instead of ending with Hogan, who was their new top guy, right, that they were about to launch into the stratosphere nationally, and instead of closing out with Hogan doing his thing, or Hogan and Mr. T, you know, it would be like having fucking Buddy Rogers come out there or something and confront him to end the show and steal some of his thunder. Or like WrestleMania when Warrior won the belt at the end of the show in 1990. You know, and here comes Bruno. Here comes Bruno Sammartino or something. I can't even imagine that. Because in that era, they had their own stars that they were creating, and the spotlight was strictly on those stars. But, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, I mean, it's been a while. It's not like a new phenomenon with this company. It's just this reliance on the past. And believe me, I live in the past sometimes. I mean, I have no issue with a little bit of nostalgia, but my God, it's... It really is sad. The over-reliance on their history has come, I think, at the expense of their present. In a lot of ways. Boogie Down, BX. There you go, Boogie Down. Boogie Down, BX, are you covering Ring of Honor Supercard? I am hopefully going to check out it. At the very least, I want to see the Briscoes FTR match. That might be all I have time to watch on Saturday morning. I will not be watching it on Friday night. Whatever I'm able to watch on Saturday, I will comment on it on the podcast on Sunday. So I'm hoping there'll be a little bit of Ring of Honor coverage on the Sunday show. That's episode 750. KC1324. Hey, Steve-O. What's going on, Steve-O? Look at this. We got Steve-O joining us in the chat. We have Thunder Rosa joining us. the Thunder Rosa, joining us in the chat during the end of the Dynamite, well, the end of the review portion of the Dynamite stream last night. She pops in from time to time. It's very cool. Everybody freaks out when she shows up. It's like, behave yourself. We have a lady in the chat. But KC says, do you think John Cena will break Ric Flair's record for most world title reigns? I think there is a definite story to tell with Cena winning that one last world championship, and I'm going to say yes, I believe he does. But I think his daughter will break it first. Javo, do you see Veer main eventing against Roman at WrestleMania 40? No. Temjin Zephyr, who will have the biggest pop throughout the two nights? Cody or Stone? Is this a real question? Come on, Temjin. Temjin, this can't be a real question. You're putting me on. You're putting me on. Of course, it's going to be Stone Cold. Even if they weren't in Texas, the answer is Stone Cold. So, I didn't even have to waste any time thinking about that. Juan, in the chat, yes. The answer is yes. She has been in the chat before. Manny, can you see them building to Cody against Reigns at SummerSlam and having Cody go over? I don't see Cody going over Reigns at SummerSlam. I won't put it out of the realm of possibility, though, that they could put the championship on him at some point. But I struggle to see him being the one to take that title from Roman. I don't see it. I don't see it. Paul Heyman. Oh, boy. Paul Heyman. Triple H says that he is retired, but what if someone were to drop the old Triple H's balls are in Stephanie's purse line? Would that get him back in the ring? Yeah, that is a great point. That might have been the best super chat that you have ever dropped. I've made that point before. I have made that point before. Usually when somebody makes that crack about Stephanie, about his balls being in her purse, that usually gets Triple H's attention. So I think the only way to get Triple H back in the ring with the defibrillator and all, risking life and limb, you say that line, and I think you'll get him back in the ring. Absolutely. Dr. Scorpio, Veer and Shane jumps Cody, and Seth tries to help, and it suddenly turns into a tag team match. Playa, holla holla. I'll kick myself out of here. Well, it's a good thing you kicked yourself out, because I was about to kick you out myself. Kobe O, disclaimer, that Cody and Shane idea from the earlier Super Chat was a bad idea. I think WWE may do that with those two. Hopefully not. Great stream, bro. Yeah, I mean, look, they could if they want to be, you know, cute about it, I guess. But I think that could actually work against them if they trot Shane out. And what's he going to do? Shane's going to come out and then just, what, disappear? Or is Cody going to come out and start beating the shit out of him? Like, where would Shane go? Would he just vanish? It doesn't make any sense. The New Day, it made sense for New Day to be out there at 33 because they were the hosts of the show. It would make no sense for Shane to come out unless he's actually wrestling Seth, which he's not. So it's a stupid idea. Lone Wolf, can you quickly go over what your predictions were for the matches? I just joined this. Are you kidding me? There's like 15 matches on the show, bro. All you need to know is that Roman Reigns is going to win, Ronda Rousey is going to win, Edge is going to win, and Bianca Belair is going to be the Raw Women's Champion. The rest of this will be archived when we're done here. B-Den, thanks for the stream. Glad to catch it. I have a buy or sell on bigger missed opportunity. Zack Ryder in 2011 or Mizdow in 2015-2016. Zack Ryder in 2011. Mizdow was always going to have a very short shelf life. Could have done more with him, absolutely. I would have had him win the Andre Battle Royal that year. What year was that? That was 20... I think it was the year Big Show won. That might have been 2015. But Zack Ryder, I mean, it's ridiculous, as over as he was. And they had to be dragged, you know, kicking and screaming. And it was just, you know, he got over on his own. That was the biggest mistake that he could make. He got over on his own. But anyway, Lone Wolf, again, those were the key predictions. Everything else on the show, you know, I said Cody against Seth, Cody wins, but those are the main predictions there. Let's see, Paul Heyman. See, Paul, you should have left well enough alone, man. You were going to go out on a high note there. Can you see WWE signing Joey Janela and Marco Stunt? No. Tomas says, still, I don't know what he's referring to. He says, as a follow-up, you just said what I was about to say. I want Bray Wyatt to keep doing what he's doing forever. Stay out of the ring. Look, I made the comment years ago. I think he missed his calling in Hollywood. Like, that Bray Wyatt character would have made for a... not even The Fiend, even just Bray Wyatt, I think. And the Wyatt family would have been like the perfect horror movie villain in like a WWE film. Still could. Yeah, he might not be able to be Bray Wyatt, but I think he probably could have a career for himself doing horror flicks. Uffman, what are you looking for? Last night, I was talking about the Dynamite stream last night. Thunder Rosa is not here right now. I was talking about last night. You missed out, apparently. I wasn't even aware of it. I found out after the fact. I was too busy. I have a show to host here. I can't pay attention to everything that's going on. But you never know who might pop in on one of these streams. Dr. Scorpio. First of all, I want to apologize. I apologize to all my fans around the world. And I apologize especially to my great fans in Canada. To you, my great fans here in the United States of America. I apologize for nothing. Thank you, Brett. Thank you for the super chat, Dr. Scorpio. I appreciate that. Matthew Scheffel. I could see Brock Lesnar dropping the title to Seth Rollins if Lesnar wins at Mania. I don't know. I'm not sold on that. He already lost it to Rollins at WrestleMania 35. You going to be doing that again? Abdul Rahman just came in here late. Would it surprise you if Ronda lost and then she's done with WWE? Yes, that would surprise me. And Tomas, give me a rundown of the Mania card again. Well, the good news for you is that this entire stream is going to be archived. You can go back and you can hear it all in depth. Because as Tony Schiavone would say back in the old days of WCW Monday Nitro, we are desperately out of time. But yes, everything for those who join late is going to be archived as soon as we're... or you can rewind right now, but everything is going to be archived here as soon as I get out of here. And I will probably push the audio out as well. In the morning on the audio download, probably push that out to the feed. So watch for that. And... again, let me put the schedule up one last time here. Wednesday is done. Thursday is done. You guys have come out strong the last two nights, but we're just getting started. Oh, we're just getting started here. My God, I want to cry. I want sleep. Friday night, SmackDown and Rampage. Rampage has a big main event. Keith Lee, literally a big main event. Keith Lee one-on-one against Powerhouse Hobbs. We've got NXT Stand and Deliver on Saturday afternoon. I'll be live after that. WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2 on Sunday. But of course, not before episode 750 of the podcast. Can you believe it? 750 of these things? And that's just the main show. That doesn't count any pay-per-view reviews on YouTube or bonus stuff or anything like that. So it's got to be a fun weekend, though. And get those likes up. Be the Booker. Be the Booker is going to return tomorrow night. We will be booking the town on the SmackDown stream tomorrow night. I will tell you that I would get in, if you want to vote in the Be the Booker brackets up in the community section, you better do it now. Because we're going to close the voting on that in the next day or so, and I'm going to announce what the finals are for the men's Be the Booker and the women's Be the Booker. So go ahead and vote. Tomas says, but can you give a rundown of the Mania card? I don't know if he's joking or I have no idea if he's trying to be funny or what he's... he's got an emoji. I assume he's trying to be funny here. Anyway, Tomas, thank you for the love and thank you, everybody else. I appreciate it. Lakers Pats, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't do live Raw reviews on the YouTube channel. I save those for the podcast, and there will be no Raw review this week because it's WrestleMania week, and it doesn't make any sense. That's why I incorporated some of my Raw thoughts into the predictions that I did earlier. So if you want my thoughts on some of the stuff that happened on Raw, you probably missed it. I would go back and check it out. Tomas is trying to be, he's trying to be a wise guy. He's trying to be a wise, I see you. I see you. He's trying to be a wise guy. Uffman, dropping $2. 25 years ago today, he says, Owen, I love you. One of the all-time great segments in Monday Night Raw history is that smirk that Bret Hart flashes as he's hugging Owen Hart and the British Bulldog when the Hart Foundation reunited in the ring. I think that Bret said in his book that at the end there, when they all embraced, Owen kind of patted Bret on the head, or he like mussed his hair or whatever, and I think Bret said he was on the verge of cracking up. So that would have ruined the entire thing instead of the smirk if he would have just started busting out laughing. I wouldn't be surprised if Owen did that to try to get him to laugh. And Dr. Scorpio, you forgot Monday. I joke. No one should go through Raw on Monday. Well, I might, though. I am considering, I might actually make an exception and go live after Raw Monday night if enough people want me to do it. So, because I feel like there might be some things going on. Veer, right? Veer is coming on Monday night. So how can I not? We might have to go live on Monday. We'll see. And Where the Fuck I Am, dropping a $19.99 super chat. Look at this, coming in right at the wire. Hope you've been well. Funny, Idris Inofe goes from here, the Level Up Wrestling School, and now NXT Level Up. What a coincidence. Also, me and some students might be getting a huge opportunity at the AEW LA show. Excited. Well, that is awesome, and I'm very excited for you. And I hope that that works out well. I hope that works out well, and you get some eyeballs on you, and definitely keep me posted on that, but I'm very happy for you. And Tomas says, when are the call-ins that you host? I would love to join. The call-in show, you know, with... as busy as this week was, we weren't going to do one. We might do one next week. The call-in show is a feature for channel members. We do the occasional call-in show. I'll announce it a few days in advance, put the number up for channel members. So that's a... I don't know if you're a channel member or not, Tomas. Let me see. I don't think you are. Because you'd have a badge next to your name if you had one. But yeah, right now that's a members-only feature, just to add to some of those perks. Judgment says he just wants to see the Iron Sheik this weekend. Well, by the brain said that he would be arriving to the ring at WrestleMania 38. You know, I think if he was in better health, they might do something funny like that, but I don't get the sense that his health is all that great. I know his ankles aren't. He's got really bad ankles. All right, guys, this has been fun. I want to thank you all for joining me here on a Thursday night again and making this stream so much fun and supporting me. Hit that like button on your way out because it really does help out the stream when you do so. And, I almost forgot, but tomorrow, because I know people have been asking about this. The plan right now is tomorrow, hopefully somewhere in the later morning hours. There is a brand new Sound Off Gamer going up. My Rise Begins. It is The Rise of the Solomon. That sounds like a Marvel movie, right? The Rise of the Solomonster, episode 1. And it's going to be about a 45-minute video. So that is going to be going up sometime tomorrow morning. So you're going to get a brand new Sound Off Gamer. I know some of you have been asking for that. So even more content coming your way here for WrestleMania weekend. I think you're going to enjoy it. Hey, Matthew Scheffel, he says, I wonder who's going to get released after WrestleMania. They usually always do it soon after. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. They've done it, I think, each of the last 2 years. Look, I don't want to see anybody lose their job, but I'm just saying, it's that time of year. You have to expect that it's going to be coming after WrestleMania at some point. Usually it is right around the 15th of the month. Tomas, if you want to become a channel member, I'm actually going to throw the graphic up here in a second, but if you want to become a channel member, there should be a join button below this video. And I don't know if you have to be on PC for it. You should be able to do it on mobile, but just hit that join button. It'll give you the two options, and then you can pick whichever one you're comfortable with. Simple as that. It don't get no easier than that, guys. All right. I'm out of here. I will see you tomorrow night for the SmackDown stream, and keep an eye out for a brand new Sound Off Gamer coming up tomorrow. Take care, guys.